Let's consecrate our hearts to God's word tonight. Just pray for yourself that your heart is open. Looking at learning properly, that's what we'll be studying. I'm back to it. So just pray for yourself tonight that your heart is open to the word. Yep, beyond the grammar, beyond the diction, beyond the eloquence, you are towards notice, beyond the words, and our hearts are receptive to God's truth. Just before yourself that you're not just a hearer of the word. Let's pray that we are doers of God's word. Doers of the word. Everyone had tonight. We have insights. Beholding ourselves in God's word will be made possible by His Spirit. I mean, that's why you came. You came to receive God's word, okay? So, for me, it is not useless. That your time this evening is not wasted, obviously. By you, my heart is open. I'm easily instructed, Lord. I'm not difficult to be instructed. I'm not difficult to be taught. When it is God's word, it is easy to change my mind. Received in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Right, Matthew's Gospel is our text again tonight. Matthew 28. I just have a very brief moment to teach tonight. We're looking at learning properly. So, media, please. I wish to continue our teaching series from here again. Hallelujah. In the past couple of weeks, we thought this would welcome to the ministry of our leaders and chinos. Hallelujah. Things that we ought not to forget. I hope we had great moments. Hallelujah. Right. It's also of your own direct leader teaching the whole assembly and receiving, and that does a lot of work in the heart. Amen. Okay. So in Matthew's Gospel 28 is our text. Jesus says to make disciples. Verse 18. And Jesus came to speak unto them, saying, all power, said the word authority, which means right, privilege. All authority, after translations, just translate it as authority, which is more appropriate than what you have in KJV here. So he says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that is authority, is given unto and in earth. Hallelujah. And obviously, by the time you look at the word given, if you are not careful, it looks as though something was handed over to him. But that exactly is not what the text implies. When something is handed over to somebody, is given, you know, not really necessarily. You have to understand what it means by heaven and earth, are we together, before you understand what he would imply by given unto me. Because it doesn't mean somebody handed it over. Are we together? Someone said, oh, that before this point, Satan had the power, you know, because Satan was promising him that he was going to hand him all the kingdoms of the earth. So, you know, so Satan handed it over. That is not true. Are we there? So, that's just a little bit of detail. So, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Right. So we see the phrase end of the world here in this text. I'm quickly making mention of the things we've spoken about before we took the pause from this teaching series. You see, end of the world. I told us, you see phrases in scriptures like that, that you have to be careful in interpreting them. When you see the word end of the world, you have to be cautious. End of the world does not mean end of the world the way we see it in 2025. Are we together? The material was written over 2,000 years ago. So you have to be there with Jesus. We can't be there with Jesus, right? Right now. But I mean, you have to kind of take, like Reverend Olusegun Onoyinka, my pastor, will say, that you must learn to go back to the road to Emmaus. Are we together? Or enter into Jesus' teaching meetings in the 40 days to hear what they had. Are we together? Uh-huh. So that's one of the things you have to do when you're reading the Bible. Try as much as possible to listen to what you're reading as though you are the first-time audience. Are we together? That's when you can understand what they said. Like I told you, the Bible is not as English as you think. So the English language was not even in existence when it was written. Are we there? So thank God we have English translations, but you need to do much work sometimes to really be patient with reading. And sometimes it means that you might have to combine many Bible texts. Are we there? Like you're reading end of the world here. Are there other instances where Jesus might have used end of the world? So before you conclude that this is what he meant, is it clear? Alright. So well, definitely if it's end of the world here, you also see phrases like foundation of the world. And those are things you have to be careful to translate or to interpret. You have to be very cautious. So when it says, lo, I am with you always to the end of the world, we say the end of the world there does not mean when everything will finish. Is it clear? Is it clear? It doesn't mean when everything would finish or when everything will end. Interestingly, the end of the world is not the end. Are we there? The end of the world is not an end of things. The end there has to do with finality. Are we there? That is arrival point. So it's not an exit, a point of exit. It then talks about how things will, a status that things will get into at the end of the world. So it speaks about a goal. A goal. Are we there? The final point, that is how the state that this age, the world will, that in itself refers to a period that is unending. Is it clear? So imagine world referring to a period that is unending. So now, when you understand that end of the world means this is where things are going to get to. Is it clear? Is it clear? So this is where we are going. That's what he's saying. This is where we are going. So he says, lo, I am with you till the end of the world. I am. You know, also definitely end of the world there could not mean look at this. You know, the way you can also see end of the world, someone say, oh, I've traveled to the ends of the world, right? So like you're saying, and that is subtle way. In fact, you are likely going to make that error when you are reading the text, because or his ministry. So you are likely going to interpret it as, oh, Jesus is saying I'm with you as he goes to Russia, China, the farthest places. No, that's not what he's saying. Is it clear? He's not even talking about geography. His presence as you, you know, cross geographic borders. That's not what he's talking about. End of the world is a phrase in the scriptures. Are we together? You will see a similar thing in Numbers 14:21 when it says, as truly as I live, the whole earth shall be covered with what? With my glory. So that's talking about the arrival point of the whole earth. Amen? This is where the whole earth is going. As I was telling someone earlier in the week, that's where, you know, the whole earth, the earth, this earth is going to where God's glory fills everywhere. It doesn't look so now. Is it? Definitely, that is where God is taking the earth, because the earth is his earth. Are we together? The earth is his earth. It is his earth. Amen. Amen. Is what? His earth. Taking things. That is his goal for the earth. That is his mission for the earth. So that is the end of the earth. That is the arrival point. The journey of the earth is to the end that all of humanity are filled with his glory. See that in Habakkuk 2:14. He says, for the whole earth shall be filled, right, with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So it doesn't look like it right now, even after the text was written. It doesn't look like it, but that is where God is going. So there's an ongoing walk. Don't forget that was where we parted. Are we together? There's an ongoing walk. That ongoing walk, Luke the writer, amen, will then explain it to us as, you know, he says in Luke 47, he says, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Are we together? You know, I told us that, you know, in Bible theology, you often hear people say things like the finished works of Christ. Amen? Which is very valid. It's a valid statement. Only that in a bid to establish what the finished work of Christ is, we must not call finished what is not yet. Is it clear? If someone says that you should go and preach the gospel into all the nations, then you said finished. Definitely no. So there's a part of his work that is achieved. Is it clear? There is also a part of his work that is ongoing. So just like we have the finished work of Christ, like I said, which is a legit statement, which is a valid statement, if properly explained, we also have what is called the ongoing work of Christ. Is it clear? And obviously, that ongoing work of Christ is being done through the church. So we call it today colloquial term, we call it the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not a finished work. The Great Commission is an ongoing work. Is it clear? Definitely, the work of salvation, which is to die for sins, has been fulfilled. The requirement for salvation of mankind has been finished, has been fulfilled. Amen? But definitely, all the world are saved, isn't it? Alright. So that's what differentiates, you know, a proper soteriology from this false doctrine of universalism. All men are saved. No, all are not saved. All are saved is an attempt, all are saved, you know, would teach that man's will is not valid, which is not true. Man has a will, amen? Alright, so God's sovereignty is not part, is not seen in how he forces salvation on men. No. Amen? Alright, God's sovereignty is not seen in how he forces salvation. God does not force salvation on men. He has done the work, but all men have to receive. That is why you have the requirement of believing, you know, attached to the message of the gospel. Men are then required to believe. Amen. So, when it says end of the world, it has to do with where the earth is going. God's project on the earth. You can call it Project Earth. You can call it something like that. Project Earth. Amen. You can call it Project Earth. This is where God is taking the earth. Are we together? So look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. Look at this. Listen properly. Well, it means we are puzzles in God. And no effort of yours is wasted. Are we together? No effort of yours. No effort of yours is wasted. No effort of yours is wasted. No effort. Is it clear? Is it clear? You know, no effort. Actually, had a picture in my heart to paint, but I would not again because I'm afraid to take anymore. So, but it's okay that no effort is wasted. You see people suffer for the good. You see people deny themselves of certain things for the word of God to grow, or deny themselves of certain things they would have enjoyed for the church of God to be strengthened. You know, and sometimes your action does not even look rewarded while you did it. It doesn't look like the reward came. See, God is taking his earth to a point. Praise God forevermore. And we are part of what he's doing. I'm glad to be a part of what God is doing. So, he's taking the earth to a point. What point? A point where all the earth is filled what? With his glory. What is his glory? Amen? Look at me. That means at that time, there will not be amen. Let's get back into our study. It's okay. Hallelujah.
It says to go disciples. So that's an ongoing work.
You know, I want to say some things I look at my audience can deviate. So it's fine.
So he says, go and make disciples. That's what teach in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach. That's what to make disciples. So it's an ongoing work. Don't forget. You know, we also said that that ongoing work, we call discipleship, we said is theology, right? Right? You remember how we got to that point. So we saw Jesus had disciples of his own. This is Jesus asking us to go make disciples. But we observed that Jesus himself had disciples. And then we now saw that what exactly was Jesus was doing in the four Gospels. We saw he healed the sick, Jesus cast out devils, he preached the gospel, he raised the dead, he cleansed lepers, he worked miracles. Jesus, right? You know, he also, you know, the Pharisees, he instructed them. He also guided those that needed enlightenment into God's counsel. He set the oppressed free. He cast out devils from people. And then we summarized, not in our own words, but we saw Matthew was doing as the fulfillment of the scriptures. Don't forget, Matthew looked at the teaching ministry of Jesus and he said Jesus fulfilled the scriptures by teaching. Are we? By teaching. Then in Matthew chapter, and also in Matthew chapter 4, he saw miracle ministry of Jesus and he says Jesus fulfilled the scriptures. He saw Jesus in Matthew 4 on evangelism. I mean, Jesus goes on evangelism. Disciple of Jesus, you'll be found on evangelism. Are we together? So Jesus goes for evangelism in Matthew chapter 4, and then Matthew calls that action fulfilling the scriptures. Fulfilling the scriptures. Head of Jesus, fulfilling the scriptures. Because the teaching ministry of Jesus, because he to the lost, because Jesus is healing ministry, because he's fulfilling the scriptures and his resurrection, is called fulfilling the scriptures. So he summarizes all that Jesus does as the fulfillment of the scriptures. Even on the cross, Jesus was fulfilling. So that now, major in Jesus' ministry is what we call discipleship. I mean, one of the products of Jesus' ministry after the 3.5 years was that disciples, who we now call the apostles. So the 12 guys, though by the time we observe critically, we see a 120 in Acts 1, right? I mean, I'm just going over what we've done before, okay? Alright. So, we see a 120, right? Right? Now, where the 120, actually, you know, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there was a 500. Amen? There was a 500. So, that shows you that a major part of the 3.5 years of work in Jesus' ministry, a major part of it is the disciples erased. Are we together? If you were to group his work into percentages, you observe that his teaching ministry, which is his discipleship ministry, you know, by Matthew chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 4, you see, are we together with him? Then the same, another. In Matthew chapter 10, you now have the 12. Are we together? Now, between Matthew 11 and 13, which is Luke 10. Are we together? You now have the 70. So, Jesus is major to his work, or major in his work, a major part of his ministry was raising ministers. Is it clear? a major part of his ministry. So that is why you cannot be a pastor, and you know you don't have the, you don't have ministers of the gospel as the fruits of your ministry. You can be. You cannot be a disciple, and you don't have people you are discipling. In the gospel. So a major part of the ministry of Jesus today, tomorrow, a major part of the ministry of Jesus yesterday, today, and tomorrow will be raising and training what? Effective ministers of the gospel. Are we together? Are we together? Major part of the ministry of Jesus. So, in the four Gospels, we see about 75% emphasis man. There, about 75% of Jesus' ministry was raising disciples through teaching and training. He healed so as to raise disciples. Are we together? Are we together? That's why Jesus, and then he tells the fellow, he says, go sin no more. And I showed this everybody that when you read go sin no more, it is actually an instruction to follow him. Go sin no more is an instruction to come over to follow him. Go sin no more, to follow him. Because the sin in that text was the sin of unbelief in his ministry. He says that to the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Are we together? He says, go sin no more. Because your man was brought to him. Was brought to him. So she never followed him. Are we together? Are we together? He never followed Jesus. At another time, he says to a man to go sin no more, or a worse thing will befall him. Are we together? Are we together? Now, look at it. It makes you look as though, you know, when you do bad things, then, you know, Jesus has said in John 9, you have to be careful, in John 9, when there was a man that was born blind, then the disciples came to him, he says, Master, who sinned that this man was born blind? Because in their theology, they felt that, you know, is born sick must be as a result of sin. But Jesus showed because of anybody's sin. Are we together? He said, who sinned and was born blind? Was he healed? That was a very funny question. How would he have seen before he was born? But there was something in their minds. Sometimes what is in your mind can make you to ask a question that what you have asked, not listen to what you ask, because your mind is that black. The who sinned, was he him or his parents? It should not even have occurred. Was he him? Should not have occurred. Look at John 9. It's a sin. This man was born blind. Was he him or his parents? So Jesus had to explain to them that he worked a miracle. Are we together? Are we together? He worked a miracle. God's will is not punishing somebody for sins. God's will is to actually liberate. Is to liberate. Liberates. Are we together? He liberates. He does not punish people for other people's sins. Something like that. Praise God. And someone said to me, he said, what about when the Bible said, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers over what? Imagine us to God. You should be shocked. Say, I will visit the iniquity of the Father upon the what? Upon the Son. Then he says, upon the children. Then he says, upon the children's children. And upon the children of the children's children. He says, down to the what? The fourth generation. Imagine! So you think that is God. You even think that's what he's saying. Are we together? Are we together? Definitely no. So, there is an ongoing work of discipleship. We saw that a major part of Jesus' ministry was then to raise disciples. So, if Jesus is described by Matthew to fulfill the scriptures, it implies that his discipleship ministry was a fulfillment of the scriptures. Is it clear? Is it clear? His discipleship ministry was fulfilling the scriptures. So we said, it's to go and make disciples, which is an ongoing work. If Jesus says go and make disciples, it means as we are making disciples, amen, we are fulfilling the scriptures, just like Jesus is fulfilling. So which itself is theological. Because discipleship now has to do with learning God. Learning God. So part of the thing that God wants us to do is learning Him. The process of learning. Are we together? So with the discipleship is the ongoing work of Christ, where I am learning Christ. So we said, if we are learning Christ, we ought to learn properly. We ought to learn properly. When I'm learning the word, when I'm learning Christ, I am ordering God's will. Because it says to go and raise disciples. Matthew, we saw those words, we saw Manfalo, we saw Matthew, we saw Matthew, those words. Which means to learn. To apply my mind to knowledge. So I said, learning the word now, where, how do I learn the word? I have to learn the word, I have to hear the word. To learn the word, I have to hear the word. Sometimes, what it takes to hear the word is to be in the to sit down. Sometimes, in order to hear the word, you have to take notes as you're doing, so that you can have something to go back to. Are we together? So, it's all part of learning. So, you see, learning itself, you know, is a structure that combines many activities. Learning is not just a single activity, it's a structure. Learning is a structure that combines different activities. I mean combines. It is not this or this. It is this and this. Are we together? So, to learn. Are we together? To learn. Sometimes in the natural, you learn, try and learn a skill. Let's say, you try to put up yourself on it. You try and learn a skill. Then, you find all night, and that's just all. Sometimes you find yourself going out to get a very expensive gadget that helps you to learn. Sometimes you find yourself also trying to subscribe to an internet data, something that can keep you lit, to learn. So learning is a structure that combines many things. So the same way we're learning God's word, you combine many things. So I have to combine being in service to take notes in service, to paying attention. Say, while teaching is on, you put away your phones to avoid distraction. It's part of learning. It's part of learning. Now there's also a part of learning that you do after the service. What you do with what is explained, what you do with what is taught, is also part of learning. So learning is a structure on its own that combines many activities. And you have to know all of these activities if you are to learn properly. If you are to learn properly. You have to combine those activities. Sometimes, one of the activities to let you will maintain a singularity of source. Fusion. I told this everly that multiplicity of fusion. Multiplicity. Even when the teachers are saying the same thing. It breeds confusion. Multiplicity of influences already is what we call discipleship. If you understand what I mean. Multiplicity of influences sabotages discipleship. Proper discipleship is sabotaged when multiplicity of influences. Part of the things I have to do to learn is to focus on the body of information. That means I have for contrary views. So listen to this. I have to listen to this also so I can sift everything together. There's no need sifting anything. There's no need to sift anything if you are not a distracted individual. Are we together? If you're not distracted. Sometimes, having received God's word, you need to go back at a moment and take on the text and go over the journey again yourself. That is why I usually tell you that proper teaching is when the mental attention, are we together, of the audience, the mental of the audience, proper teaching is done with the mental understanding of the audience in mind. That means we don't say the logical things. That's not teaching. Is it correct? That's not teaching. Teaching means to mystify. So you couldn't be sitting in a teaching service and things are being mystified. Are we together? Amen. Sitting in a teaching service and things are being complicated. Imagine and the faith look more complicated than it was. There's upcoming. God's word is taught when God's word is made clear. Someone say clear. That's it. Remember some about 12 years ago now, was it 12 years or 13 years ago now? You know, to four from campus, used to be part of a group. So we had invited this minister to come from somewhere in the east. So the man came around and then he spent some days, I think, taught about 2, 3, or 4 sessions or so in that weekend and then Saturday and then left. And then he came around. We had access to his teachings. Some friends of mine, you know, they got hold on his teachings, so we listened to it. And, well, thoughts, I'm not even sure whether he taught well or not, that's not my point. But, I mean, as he thought, you know, he left, and then teachings. He dropped some teachings and all that. So, but, when we, you know, so I got into cover. My friends, and we're talking about that particular preacher, minister, and Jesus. Okay, well, as far as I'm concerned, he taught God's word, but I don't learn that way. Are we together? Now, the issue was this. I said, I can't learn something that I cannot see after I have had it. Are we together? If I cannot present it, so the teaching is not taught as systematically as something that can be, and I'm not talking about reproducing like climbing and coming. I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, if you say this is it, tell us, I'll show us from the text. Are you with me? I mean, that's the way I learned God's word, though. You show me from the text. You show me this verse. Then show me this verse. Then show me this verse. Don't just say something and then say, that's why. Then you pick a text. And then from there, you now say something again that I don't know where you saw it. It's not in the Bible. And then you just come and say, so I dreamt that. No. It doesn't work. Are we together? You don't pull your dreams. I mean, you just pull the cow. As I was dreaming it, you know, that's why the Bible said, then last week I had a vision, and in the vision, you know, then you go into a motivational quote, and then you come back to, then they say, this is the meaning of the text. No, it doesn't work that way. Let the scriptures explain themselves. The Bible itself is a message. That means it's logical, it's understandable. So let the scriptures explain themselves. Let them explain themselves. Are we together? Are we together? Let the scripture explain itself. So show me how you arrived at this conclusion. If you say that Jesus is Lord over sicknesses and all diseases, show me from the Bible text. Are we together? Then you expect that I will be able to go forth and show another person from the same text. So teaching must be done that way. You must show people from the text of the scriptures. This is what this implies. By putting this text to this text, you check the words, you check the grammar. You say, since this is past tense, this is present tense, then this is the conclusion. That is discipleship. So, discipleship implies to give to someone what can be given to another. Are we together? Are we together? Definitely, the person who is received digested it. Let me use that word. Who is receiving understood. The person who is receiving mastered it. Must have received it. Must have absorbed it. So, I'm not talking about hearing something and running to teach it. Are we together? By me, it must be communicable. That's the sign. It is to demystify what looks mysterious. Amen. What looks like a mystery. Is to explain what looks hard. When God's word is taught, the thing that looks hard must become what? Understandable. Is it clear? The character of God must now be clear to the people of God. You don't come into service and then teach God's word, and we are more afraid of God than. Whoop. You couldn't be explaining God's character. And after you were done, we don't know what God wants again. That's not teaching. After you are done teaching, we now don't know what God wants. We don't know what He wants. Are we together? Oh, God's name is not this. God's name, by the time He explained what God's name meant, be like, you should have just left us with what you should have just left us with the old understanding. Because this one you just explained now, I mean, God can't be that. Are we together? Some say, do you know the meaning of Jehovah? Jehovah was El Shaddai. He said, the multi-breasted one. By the time he was explaining, what you have just explained to us looks like it. You should have explained why that word El Shaddai was used for God. Because God is not El Shaddai. But that description was given to him because of a character he displayed. Explain it. Explain him as a provider on all sides. The one you just explained now does not look like our God, though. It looks like you brought something else to us. He has eyes all over. No. God. It wants to sound deep. And there are some Christians, they don't have issues. If the minister has not sounded deep and said some things that they can't answer, they will not respect the minister. They will respect the minister. Say, go deeper, Papa. take us into the deep mysteries of God. They say, oh, that when you begin to engage the corridors of power, by the time you start engaging the horizons of the dispensations of the Yahweh of the corridors of power, the monarch of Zion will begin to look down. I'm all God. The monarch of Zion. You feel that when you say monarch of Zion, you are now the respected man of God. See Jesus. Jesus came and he said, Father. Are we together? He says, Father. He said, when you begin to engage the dealings of God, you know, when we begin to walk with God, if God begins to lead you, a 10-year-old boy should be able to grasp the teacher. Are we together? And a 70-year-old man should not feel that it's too simple. That is skill, not in those. So when it is being carried out, are we together? What looks difficult, vague, you know, tough, made simple. That's it. So we are learning God's character in discipleship. We are learning God's work in discipleship. Look at what it says. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now that commanded, you see two things in that word. You will see the things he instructed. We also see the things he's accomplished. Are we together? Instructions. That's what commanded, entelomai. Accomplishment and instructions. So we will see Jesus' instructions. The things we're expected to do, we'll learn it. The things he has accomplished, we will also learn it. So said, when I am learning the word, I am actually doing the Father's plan. Is that clear enough? When I'm learning God, when I'm learning the words, I'm saying the same thing. When I'm learning God's words, I am actually doing God's plan. See, I have already started doing God's plan. I'm learning. Learning, and I said, learning combines many words, activities. Taking notes is one of them. Taking notes. Going, sit down is one of them. Sit down with your notes is one of them. It's your notes. Like we said, if you're a member of a church, your morning devotions is your teaching notes spread out in the week. Meditate, because you are meditating. And meditating is slower than me. Are we together? Meditating. Because to meditate means you are following a thought pattern in your mind. That's it. Meditating. When you ponder on something, it's like you are turning, chewing something in your mouth, and you have refused to swallow it because you want to chew it well. That's the same thing the mind does to information when you are meditating. Meditating is another activity in learning. You also have, you know, speaking God's word. Speaking God's word. Discussing God's word. Discussing God's word. They were discussing God's word. Discussing God's word. Discussing the word. Discussing the word. Amen? You know, you can discuss the word with someone. You can discuss the word. Discuss the word with the intent of or sharing information. Another must never be to show the other that, see, no. Also discuss. So that's one of the activities in learning the word. In learning the word, you also pray. You pray. So learning the word is A whole structure that combines many activities. That when one or two activities are missing, I might not learn the word properly. We call it learning. Praying is one of them. I pray the words. To learn the word, I pray, receive the word with the expectation that when God's word is understand. Now, how word, the prayer changes. I now pray with the expectation that I'm going to understand and walk in it. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to walk in it. I can in a teaching meeting and go and pray that I will walk in what has been taught. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to act on this. I'm going to act on this. I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to be a murmurer. I'm going to act on the word. I'm going to act on the word. And then you're praying sometimes for an hour or two or more. You're praying. I'm not stingy. I give. I walk in love. I do what is right. I do what is right. I do what is right. My heart is made to the word in the name of Jesus. And then you are praying. That is also part of learning the word. Praise God forevermore. So when I am learning the word, I'm doing the Father's plan. So we said, how am I supposed to learn the word? What should be my attitude to learn? That's where we are. We together said, I also learn properly, right? Okay. In learning properly, we said we have to learn the word with all of our heart. All of our heart. I must learn the word, or I ought to learn with all of my heart. Praise the Lord. I ought to learn with all of my heart. What does it mean? Your heart. It means to learn with your mind. Look at Ephesians 1. Let me take us a little bit further tonight. Then we'll hit the Goshas coming week. Ephesians 1. So, I ought to learn properly. How do I learn properly? I learn with all of my heart. Praise God. The very first thing we see in Ephesians 1 there, hold your hands to Ephesians, go to Matthew. Matthew 22. Praise God. In Matthew 22, in verse 36, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? What is the great commandment in the law? I've explained this text to us. It is in 37, and Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Someone say, all thy heart. And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, this is not referring to three things. Look at this. This is not a text where you get the different parts of man. It's not from this text. It's just the use of the word to emphasize another word means. So when it says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Are we together? And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In this text, the heart is referring to what it means by your soul. And it defines what it means by what? Your mind. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now, I've had people say things like, oh, man is, how do they put it? Man is 3-in-1 or something. Man is 3-in-1. Well, are we together? I don't know where they got that from, though. Amen? We say, God made us like His image. Sorry, in His image. Now I say, since God is 3-in-1, man is also 3-in-1. Now, okay, what is the 3-in-1 about God? He said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, how is man now 3-in-1? He said, spirit, soul, body. How does that agree? Are we together? Well, science also classifies man as head,
thorax, and then limbs.
That's also 3.
Are we together?
So he said things like you have the spirit of man. He says he communicates with God with his spirit, right? Then he says the body, that using the body he relates with the earth. So what does the soul do? Then the soul is the joiner. So what happens in the soul? He said, the soul is where he feels away and he decides. That's the seat of his will. And that. So he said, okay, so where is the soul? I must ask questions. Where is the soul? There is the soul that feels. He said, where is the soul? Until we now see the rich man in hell. Are we together? And in hell, he was in torment. You didn't see that? The man was in torment in hell. So if you say it is the soul that feels. Are we together? Well, that means that the soul and the spirit are like 5 and 6 moving together. Because if he is in hell, right? Right? Oh, you are dealing with me. Am I confusing you? I'm not confusing you. You only be confused if you have believed rubbish before now. We have to look at God's word together. Because if you say that the soul is what feels and the spirit goes to hell, that means that the soul and the spirit, are they, is something glued them together? Something like that. Amen? Don't say man is a spirit that has a soul and lives what? In a body? No. See, it's very simple. What makes it man? Are we together? What makes it man? Are you listening to me? What makes it man? The moment I take out one of those faculties that I've mentioned, it is no more what? Man. So, man is not a spirit that has a soul and live inside of a body. See, the man is that. That's the man. So you don't detach it. When God will save you, He saved that entity with the body. Is it clear? With the body, He redeemed you. With that, this entire thing that I'm talking to, or that I'm talking to you, this thing standing. Man, you remove one of those faculties, it is no more man. So, in a bit to explain that man is a supernatural being, are we together? Yes, you're right. Man is a supernatural being, but look at this. This body is equally you. That's why you can't exchange bodies. I know you have watched African movies like somebody picked somebody's body and started going to Russia and selling gas in one. No, see, just throw those things away and come back to God. When you see, anytime you are done watching African magic, when you open your Bible, just draw the line. That is entertainment. And many times when people are entertaining you, their theology will also come to play. But you must learn to drop it. Amen. And I see that, you see somebody that is walking with his back. He said, that's how spirits work. Who told you spirits even take? Are we together? Hey, that's the one that wants to cross road and is looking like this. That's just... So imagine you are taking this here. Now imagine you now open your Bible that is real life. You are now thinking that way. You are now thinking that way. Your head is selling because you are having some muscular... You are calling my name. You are calling my name. This is real life. You have to wake up. Are we together? You have to wake up. Amen? So when it says with all your heart, that's the same thing it means by all your what? All your soul. Because by the time you look into the Bible text, you now see when it says that, 3,000 souls were saved. If your definition of soul is emotion, mind, Abby, is that not how they define soul? So when it says 3,000 souls were saved. So 3,000 emotions were saved. Does that make sense to you? Do you get it? So soul can be used to refer to the entirety of a man. So many times when you see the word soul, it's talking about the same thing it meant by what? Life or men. The same thing. So when it says with all your soul, it has to do with the entirety of you. That's the same thing it meant by all of your heart. That's what it meant by all of your what? Your mind. Look at this. It means that you are given over to something. To have a desire that unquenchable. An unquenchable burning desire. Is it clear? An unquenchable burning desire. When it says to love the Lord of God with all your mind, it doesn't mean that when you are singing worship, you are now crying. When you now get there, you now mob the thing away. After 2 minutes, you are now laughing in front of food. It means to have an unquenchable burning desire with all your heart. Are we together? When you do something with all your heart, we are speaking for Deuteronomy, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, then it says with all your soul, with all your mind. Look at me. Because that implies with all your resources, your life. So it speaks of worship. An unquenchable and a burning desire for something. It means to be yielded to emotion. To be yielded to it. It means to submit. So that's the same thing you find to by mind. It meant by heart. Versus by soul. By measuring all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, it means all of yourself. It's not talking about divisions of man. It's simply emphasizing the entirety of your being. He says to love the Lord. Are we together? Are we together? To love the Lord. He says this is the first and the great commandment. So how do I learn the word properly? I learn the word with all my heart. I ought to learn the word. When you see somebody doing things with the entirety of his heart, you will see it. You will see that burning desire. You will see relentlessness. To be relentless. To give all of yourself for it. So he says that is how I ought to learn the word. I ought to learn the word with heart. That I will look at the word. and I will devote myself to it. That's the meaning of all of your heart. So it's a way of describing devotion. Am I devoted to something? And when someone is devoted, you see it. You see devotion. It is not halfway. It's devotion. 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 To be given over. To not think about it. Are we together? To be given over to something. To be set upon something. That means you are not likely to start thinking about it when it is this one. If it were to be another, you might try to get logical and weigh things. But when it comes to this one, you is not likely you are going to think about, you know, your sacrificing, trying to weigh. It's not likely you are going to weigh logical. You are forward at it at all times. What you are devoted to is your key. Let me put it that way. It's like something that controls you. Just let it be the Lord. Right? Jesus is taking that text from Moses' instruction to a nation that has been brought out of idol worship. Out of idol worship means Israel had options of the supernatural beings to worship. Then it says, devote yourself to the God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham. Are we together? So devotion does not mean I don't have options. It simply means I don't consider. The moment I start considering options, that's no more devotion. Is it clear? That is no more devotion. So it means to be given over. It means to be yielded. It means to be devoted, to be consecrated to. So it means I am yielded for it to control me. Look at it. It means to be vulnerable to something. It can affect me. I am vulnerable to God's word. The opposite of being vulnerable is not hardened toward God's word. I'm vulnerable to God's word. God's word can affect me. It means what can affect you. You are vulnerable to devoted to it. Are we together? I see it as a law, not a suggestion. God's words to me are not suggestions. Some years ago, when we talked on Christian consecration, I said, yes, the Bible describes Jesus as many things to us. The Bible calls Jesus our friend, our brother. But a major description of Jesus Christ to the believer is the word Lord. Now, there's just one relationship between you and your Lord. It is obedience. Is it clear? There's one relationship. There's just one between you and your Lord, and it is what? Obedience. So, to devote to the Lord, it also means to live a life of obedience. So, he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. So, I love the world with all my heart. That means I learn the word with all my heart. There's no part of me that is reserved away from God's word. No part of me. Hallelujah. There's no part of me. No part of me is reserved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No part of all of me. Hallelujah. All of me. There is no part of me that is reserved away from God's word. I am vulnerable to the word of God. All I need is for it to be clear, and I'm out there acting on the word. All of me, all of me, all of me, all of me, my choices, my emotions, my plans, my decisions, my experiences, my methods, my styles, my priorities, all of me, all of me, my resources, my desire, my plans, my ambitions, my dreams. There is no part of me that's excluded from being affected, from being influenced by God's word. All of me, my decisions, all of me. That's a Christian. That's a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. In my relationships, I'm a Christian. On the internet, I'm a Christian. On the internet, you are not a stupid person. You're a Christian. You say, that's what the Bible just... Ah! And Jesus is watching your child. Let's forget Bible. This is not about Bible. Any small thing, bring your Bible. Please put Bible aside. Let's talk through life. Ha. I'm a Christian. Your name is not Chris, but you are a Christian. Is it clear? I'll close with Romans chapter 12. Quickly. Romans 12. Now, I said Ephesians 1, right? We'll pick that up. Look at Romans 12. Say all of me.
All of me.
Say all of me.
All of me.
We need to have songs on all of me. Is it clear?
Yes,
we need to have songs on what?
All of me.
We need to have songs on all of me. All of me. Are we together? To your will, to your plans. You sing it over and over and over, because when you are singing is part of learning the word. Singing is part of what? Learning the word. In the word. That's one of another one. One of the activities of learning the word. Singing the word. In Romans chapter 12, and then in verse 1. He says, I beseech you, brethren, he says, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. Can we take it together? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So, he says, be not conformed to this world. I've explained that text to us. That text means to not allow this world to do what? To squeeze us into its mold. Amen. Don't allow this world to squeeze you in mold. That means we are surrounded by influences. Christian cannot be clueless of the fact that we are surrounded by what? Influences. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say a Christian should not be clueless of the influences. I said a Christian must not be clueless of the fact surrounded by what? Influences. Glory to God forevermore. But look at it. We have transformational learning going on. A transformational learning. Is that how we put the learning? Was that how we put the learning? Transformative learning. So how do I know I'm being squeezed into this world's mold? It starts from your thinking. The way you think. It has to do with perception. That was what I wanted to want. When it says the eyes of your understanding. Of your understanding being enlightened, Ephesians 1. It speaks of your mind. Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. It says, God will grant you the wisdom of the Spirit, which is revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. The eyes of your understanding being It speaks of your mind. That shows you that the same place, target of a worldly influence, is also the place where God says you should put the words. The same part of you that gets influenced by the surrounding world is the same part of you where you're supposed to. I give my heart to the world. So there are competing forces. Every day. Every time you open, they are competing forces. You get out of your room, there are competing forces. Every time you meet a friend, you meet a colleague, you meet a classmate, you meet a neighbor, there are competing forces. But I give myself to the world. Hallelujah. I give myself to the world. I give myself to the world. Hallelujah. I'm a word man. I give myself to the world. You walk in the hospital, you give yourself to the world. I give myself to the world. You walk on you're a banker, you walk with money, you handle people's resources. You're a teacher. Over younger ones. I give myself to the world. Campus, you mingle with your colleagues and do all sorts of things. No, I give myself to the world. Daniel. Samuel gave himself. Are we together? Two examples of men who lived in strange times where diverse influences pervaded the society, but they gave themselves to the world. I'm just like Daniel. I'm just like Samuel. I'm just like Joseph. I gave myself to the world. Allow the influences around to mess up his testimony because he gave himself to the world. So look at this. That's from your thinking. Say for me tonight. It starts from your thinking. Your thinking means your perception. Your thoughts. What thoughts are on your mind? Ask your neighbor, say, what do you think about? Do you think about money or you think about glorifying God? Do you think about money? Or you think about glory? I think about glorifying God. You think about pain? You think about glorifying God. So that glorifies God. Talking about it in the natural. when you go about after money. Because, you know, I don't expect anyone to say, nah, don't go after money. Are we together? Even God goes after money. Is he glad? Isn't Jesus didn't go after money? Amen. But I don't go after money in a way that dishonors God. He says, don't let this world. I don't go after marriage in a way that dishonors God. I don't go after people in a way that God is dishonored. No. He says, don't let this world squeeze you into its ideologies to act on it. If he says that, it means it is possible. It means it is possible that the world squeezes you. So he says, don't let it squeeze you. It also means it is possible for you to prevent the squeezing. Properly. Starts from your thinking, your thoughts, your perception. Sometimes you see different thoughts begins to come to you. And when God is not taking, it forms your will. How? You see, you observe, you begin to accommodate thoughts. Begin to accommodate. You've allowed thoughts around you for so much. Sometimes if God is not taking, it begins to look normal. Begins to look normal. Are we together? You don't see that as a big deal. Don't see that as a big deal. You see a Christian, you don't see cohabiting. You know what cohabiting means? We don't see cohabiting. Living like a couple, but you're not married. Live under the same roof, in the same room, a man and a woman. I'm not talking about your brother, your sibling. Are we together? Sibling, amen. Are we together? It is a man and a woman cohabit. If you can't, don't see it as a big deal anymore because it is happening. Maybe you have friends that are doing it. Are we together? Premarital sex. It's not a big deal again. All this happening. I mean, it's happening. Are we together? That's how it happens. That's how it starts. That's with thoughts. When you don't do anything about it, suddenly you don't see it as a big deal. Then it graduates. Are we together? Gambling for money. You don't know it's a sin anymore. You know, some people don't know gambling is sin. They don't know. I hear some idiot. He says, show me a Bible text. That's an idiot. He said, show me a text in the Bible that says. Someone even told me, someone said, can smoking to hell? I said, well, it won't. You meet Jesus before us. Are we together? It's Jesus before us. You go before us. Gone too soon. Are we together? So be with the Lord. We're together. Are we together? Idiots. Then show me a Bible text where the alcohol is just, say evil and alcohol. Yeah? It becomes normal. So you don't see any big deal in it again. But are we together? Then you know what happens after? The moment you are faced with such opportunities, you begin to logicalize it. It looks logical. And I said, even when you don't do it, it's because you felt, I'm not going to do the job. I don't need it. No, it must be beyond I don't need it. This is wrong. It's not I don't need it. So I say, do I have to do it? Why are you asking do I have to do it? This is wrong. Are we together? Because it graduates under pressure. You're going to act on it. The moment around from it, you're going to. The moment it occurs, is liable to repeat. The moment he repeats, it becomes a curse. No. Someone say no. So, at what point do I wait off a word while it is still thought? How? By filling my heart with God's word. So that shows you, putting God's word in your heart is not only a restorative process, it's a preventive work. It prevents, it occupies your mind. Because your mind can't be empty. It can't be empty. So, I am not squeezed by the influences of the world. No, I'm not squeezed. I learn God's word properly. Are we together, church? I'm not squeezed. I'm not squeezed. I don't want to squeeze me into his mood. You know, if care is not taken, the environment will make you to become a full person. A murmuring Christian. You can be a murmuring Christian. You can be a grumbling Christian. Grumbling? Murmuring. Because of experiences, obviously. And you're going to have reasons. You're going to have excuses. You have reasons for being generally like murmurous. A murmuring Christian. I'm not a murmuring Christian. Are we together? You know, the instruction to be grateful and thankful is God's word. Are we together? It's God's word to be grateful. So if you don't keep living, if care is not taken, you will discover that after a while, there is nothing around you to be grateful about, including life. It is a sign that you are distracted from the world. So, we continue from there on Thursday. The way I learn the word is by giving the word all of what? All of my heart. Give the word all of your heart affects how much, how often you attend to the word. Attend to the word every day. Attend to it what? Every day. You wake up in the morning before night, ensure you have attended to God's word. Listen to a teaching track. Even if it's one. Even if it's one. Take 30 minutes to 45 minutes to 1 hour. Meditate on the word, and after you have meditated, minister to the Lord on what you have picked from it. Thank Him for that insight. You can sing in tongues. You can also sing in understanding. Then pray in the spirit. And pray in line with what you just meditated on. That's it. That's it. That's it. Meditate on the body of information. A body of knowledge. A portion of God's word. A portion of your notes. Including the one I'm talking about now, you're like, meditate on it. As you meditate on it, then minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. And then minister to Him in line with or in the light of what you just meditated on. Do not be separated or scattered. Then pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the light of what you just meditated on. Yes, you find something on what you have meditated on and pray. And pray. And pray. And pray. Are we together? That is how one of the ways you demonstrate a devotion to God's word. Are we together? Devotion. I give my heart to God's word by learning the word daily. Giving time to the word daily. Daily. The other way, I mentioned one more. Another way you can put the word first, fill your heart with God's word. Put the word first, or show dedication and devotion to God's word, is that you make it your first call point. What do I mean by that?
Whatever happens, is it an experience? Is it a need for counsel? Is it a need for decision? Is it a need for response? Tell you more about response. And the first thing in your heart is, what does God's word say about it? 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 And then, if you, for example, did not know at that moment what God's word says, then you begin to find out. Are we together? Look at it. How about find out what God has to say about relocation? About a relocation. About leaving a city for another city. You know, I've not even spoken about a country to another country. I've been just relocating. What does God's word say about travels, relocation? What does God's word say? What does God's word say about associations, friendships, and relationships? What does God's word say? What does the word say? What does the word say about finances? Finances. What does the word of God say about money making? Is God's word silent about money making? What does he say? What insight does God's word have to offer about how to handle resources of the earth? Resources of the earth. What does God's word say about marriage? What does the word say? What does the word say? Ask your neighbor, say, what does the word say? See, that is what shows that you are given to the world. Those are signs of devotion. Signs of devotion. Say, I'm devoted to the world. So, it is all of your heart. All of your heart. It means to bond over for something. So I bond over for God's word. I bond over. I put the word first. That means you will not put human opinions first. And many times, because you are not putting somebody's opinions first, the person might feel agitated, neglected. Neglected. Well, I trust to take care of your feelings, but I'm not going to put your opinions first. I'm going to put God's word first. I'll be careful about your feelings. I won't neglect it. I'll not just bypass you and treat you like you don't mean anything. No. Because in obeying God's word, I also see that you mean something. Right? 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 So, won't neglect people. Don't make people feel that you don't mean anything. No. But we're going to act on God's word. We're going to put God's word first. I give my heart to the word. On finances, on life decisions, on issues of life, associations, handling resources. Are we together? Reasons for being joyful. I told you some time ago, I said, many times when things happen to people and they feel so sad and sad and sad and fall into depression and all that, many times it is because such a person has not built their source of joy on the word of God. You see, let the word of God be the source of your joy. Let the word of God make you be at peace. Are we together? Let the word of God make you be at peace. Find reasons in God's word to be at peace. You observe that the reasons why God's word will put peace in your heart will be everlasting reasons. When you see people have bad experiences in life and they are so sad and disappointed about life, oftentimes, if you watch it well, it is because they have built something else as their source of joy. They build something else. Sometimes people have made money their source of joy,
confidence.
If you observe that when you don't have money, you are unnecessarily jittery, it means you have built your faith on that money.
On money.
So it's natural that the lack of it will make you very unsettled. When you have built your trust, your peace, your sense of worth on what people say about you, when they start saying negative things, as it were, about you, you are going to observe you become unsettled. So the moment you become unsettled, disturbed, destabilized because of what people are saying about you, is a sign that you have built your life and trust on people's opinions. Build it on the world. As I said, we are not going to neglect humans. We're not going to neglect people, relationships, associations, no. But we are going to build our trust on the world. The word of God first.
Hallelujah.
The word of God first. God's opinions first. God's word first. Hallelujah. So I put the word of God first. Say, I put the word of God first place. The word of the Lord has first place. I put God's word first place. Say, Lord, your word first place. Lord, your word first place. Lord, your word first place. Opinions of men secondary. My opinions secondary. Your opinions first place. Your opinions first place. Pray for yourself tonight. Day by day, my opinions, other people's opinions, let God please. I'm vulnerable to God's word. Consciously and unconsciously, I train and I'm trained to do the word. He that hears this word of mine, draw them like it's a man that beat his house on the rock. The rain came, the wind and the storm came, the flood came upon the house. But it did not fall because it was built upon the rock. I built my house on the rock. Is open to do the word. I'm vulnerable to God's word.
Your word is tried and true. So I'll worship and say,